If you're feeling fed up because your walks are so constantly sped up, if you're thinking to yourself,
Wow.
this can't be right. My leash is always tight. If you feel like being dragged is a drag, then you've come to the right spot. Tonight we're going to talk about how to make your walks rock.
He didn't get the okay on any of those.
In this episode of The Train Station, I'm Ken Steep.
I'm Kel McCann.
Welcome back to McCann Dogs. The more ridiculous, the better for these openings, I feel. It's a lot
of
fun.
Did you make that up on the spot?
Well, I thought as I was sitting down here, I was thinking about
it. Okay, I was going to say, wow.
Cold opens are my favorite part. And then we get into the training, which is hopefully your favorite part. And tonight we're going to be talking about walking on leash. It's going to be a subscriber Q&A. We're going to talk about how you can fix your leash walking training. And in tonight's show, we're going to go over... We've kind of put together a different way of thinking about your leash walking that you can apply to whatever stage you're at. And this is what we love doing here in the train station. Maybe this is your first time here and you're like, who are these two blue-shirted people? Well, my name's Ken Steep. This is Kel McCann. We're professional dog trainers at McCann Dogs. And at McCann Dogs every week, we help nearly 600 dog owners to overcome the same dog training challenges that you have. We help nearly 1,000 online students every day in our online training. And we've seen how tough it can be when you don't have a plan, you don't have a strategy for fixing your leash walking. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, we do have a couple of fun things to talk about. Number one. My nose is running. I've got a little tissue, but
that's not fun.
That's not fun at all. Number one, we just launched a new channel. Now, if you leave your home and you know your dog's, maybe you go to work and you leave your dog for a bit and you put on music. Well, that's something that we did. We just got back from Florida.
Or maybe you don't even know that that's a thing that you could do.
Yeah, I mean, this is something we do for all our puppies.
Yeah,
always. We'll start playing music for them. Well, we just launched a new channel here on YouTube called McCann Dogs Music, and at the end of tonight's show, you're going to automatically get sent there. But there's also a link in the description. But what we've done is we've collaborated with a couple of music producers and we've created music that is good to fill that space. It's good to help your dog to be more settled and relaxed as you're working on whatever. You know, maybe working on crate training. Maybe they're just hanging out at home. But we used it. Kale and I just got back from Florida where we were at the U.S. Open for dog agility. Kale got two gold medals.
Three gold medals and two silver medals.
That's right. That's right. I mean, no big deal. I mean, I'm talking to the 21-time world champion of dog agility. So congratulations on that. But while we were away, there were a couple times where we'd have to leave the place we were staying and we'd always put on the music.
Our one little border collie, Beeline, who I was competing with, she can be a little bit sound sensitive. And one of the ways that we really find she relaxes a lot more, especially when we leave her, is if we leave music on.
Totally.
So, we just left it on and put a little fireplace background going on the TV. And she just chilled out and was super happy. So it's something that we use when we're traveling a lot. But Ken and I also listened to it while we ate dinner tonight.
It's true.
it's just really relaxing.
I want to mention a huge thank you to Rebecca Greenspan for dropping the super chat. Our moderators will keep an eye on that and see if you have a question. Grace Martinez, welcome to the McCann Dogs as a Heart Dog supporter. Bonnie Kraft, also a Heart Dog supporter.
Cool.
Thank you guys for joining us tonight. Now, tonight's going to be all about Q&A. And the first question that I want to ask you is, where are you joining the train station from? It's so much fun to find out where everyone pops in from all over the world. It's also an opportunity for me to brush up on my geography. I wasn't good at it in school. So let us know. It's interesting because, as I mentioned earlier, we have students from all over the world in our online programs. And, someone in, in New York City, in Manhattan, for example, has the same challenges as someone in Calgary, Alberta, or, in the rural sections. I'm trying to think of some of the really unusual places, places that we've recently gotten students from, literally all over the world. I think every continent is covered except for Antarctica and the Arctic.
No, we have students from Japan. We have students from Israel. We have students from every state in the U.S. and everywhere.
Yeah. And dog training can feel frustrating. I know because I was a frustrated dog owner that ended up having to go to McCann Dogs as a student to learn, what I can do with this wild and crazy dog. She would drag me down the street. And, I get it. I understand what it feels like when you're like, oh, I've tried everything. It's not working. Or I don't know what to try because this definitely needs to be changed.
I think it's important to note, too, that, you know, we see this a lot. We have lots of students, so we see a lot of the same issues. But as we've branched out to students all over the world, we've started to recognize that people are struggling with walking on training in every single country in the world. It's not something that you're alone with. Yeah. And it's super frustrating as well, because we want to enjoy our dogs. We want to be able to take them for a walk and take them places and not be dreading having to walk our dogs to exercise them or socialize them or whatever we're doing. So I think we'll debunk a lot of those things for you tonight in our lessons.
Well, that's what I loved about learning about the McCann method. And what I love about our training is that we make it fun for the owner. We make it fun for the dog. And when you have a dog that's like actually enjoying the training, when they want to listen to you, boy, oh boy, that can speed up the learning process.
Yes.
So we're going to talk a little bit tonight about some of the things that you can do to help your dog with your leash walking in a little different ways. Stuff that you can take in tonight and literally start on your next walk. Maybe it's after the train station. You know, maybe tonight you're going to go up for a quick walk.
Maybe you'll have a little training session in your living room later.
Totally, yeah, which is a great place to start. Yeah. We're going to talk about why in just
a
second.
That's where Five Alive learned how to walk on a leash, is up and down our hallway.
Absolutely. I see lots of people joining in. I see, let's see, we've got Nashville, Tennessee, Sydney, Australia, Florida, Vancouver, Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, Brooklyn, New York, Indianapolis, Indiana, Vermont, Kingston, Ontario. Thanks for joining us from Kingston. Allie, one of our Heart Dog supporters. Mexico, Missouri. Never heard of that, Tracy. I'm going to look that up. Oakville, not too far away. Tupelo, Mississippi. Also, I'm going to have to look that one up, too.
Cool.
Queensland, Australia, Paris, Ontario, British Columbia, Sweden, nice. Los Angeles, California, Cumbria, UK, Guira, New South Wales. I don't know. That's probably completely incorrect. Let me know, Suke, where that is. Guira, it's a really interesting name of a place. Mark Faulkner, one of our Heart Talk supporters. Hello from Fredericton, New Brunswick.
Nice.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. Let's dive in to the first thing I want you to think about when it comes to your leash walking training. If you feel like, boy, oh boy, this is not going right, the first thing that I want you to consider is your dog ready? We're going to talk about sort of four letters that represent, you know, things that you need to think about when it comes to your leash walking. And we just call it REDS, R-E-D-S. So in the R, is your dog ready? This is probably when people, this is the beginning of our training, but this is when people fail first.
Yes.
Is thinking that their dog is ready to go for a walk. Taking your dog for a walk and teaching your dog to walk on a leash. You might have heard Instructor Steve say that in one of the videos. They're very different things.
Very different. Yeah. And I think sometimes what happens is people get a dog and they just think, well, I have a dog. I have to walk it.
Right.
And so you walk it. And, you know, we don't realize that you actually have to train a dog to walk nicely on a leash. There are very few dogs that just naturally don't pull on the leash. They're sometimes when they're really, really little, when they're puppies, they don't pull as much because they don't have the confidence or the life experience. And they're sort of, you know, in that stage where they naturally want to follow you. But as you'll soon find out, if you're not there yet, that goes away. That goes away, and they get curious, and they want to kind of, you know, be in charge, and they want to get wherever they want to first, and they do natural, normal puppy things, and so that's when the pulling begins. And unfortunately, what happens is people just assume that, well, I have to walk my dog, so they rehearse allowing their dogs to pull them around the park or around the block or wherever it might be over and over and over again, day in and day out. And they just get frustrated when they don't actually realize that there is some training involved in teaching your dog to walk on a leash. So we're going to get into this in more detail, but basically, are you ready means, does your dog understand their expectation well enough that you could actually go out for a walk and have the walk be what your expectation of walking would be? Can they walk on a loose leash? Do they listen to you? Do they stop and sit when you ask? Do they leave distractions? Do they look at you when you ask? All of those things. And the answer to a lot of those questions initially when you have a young dog is no, because they haven't learned those things yet. So, I know a lot of people will say, well, if I can't walk my dog, what am I supposed to do with my dog? With my dog's crazy.
So
we'll talk about that too.
Well, we had a new group of grade one students in last night for their first lesson, and someone pulled me aside during the break, and we were talking a little bit about what he should do. He's got this 4-month-old Aussie, I think, little Aussie, full of energy. He said what he's really looking forward to is the ability to take her up to the cottage and have her off leash. But right now, because he's busy and has to work and do all sorts of things, he started taking her on walks. And we talked about why that's not a good idea at this point in her training. And the results that the bad habits that she's learning. We talked a little bit about that. And those are two different things, off-leash listening and leash walking, like in at a heel position. But they're kind of related.
Very related.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about why that's why you need to understand that, why like one element of your training can really impact other aspects of
it. Well, if they can't listen well enough to you to walk on a loose leash when you ask them to, most dogs are not going to listen well enough to be off-leash when you ask them to. So it all starts with walking on a leash. That's the basic of a lot of the training that we do, which leads to great verbal control, which leads to lots of freedom for the dog once they learn to listen.
Yeah. So we're talking about getting started with focus first. Before we do that, I saw our commenter from, I may have lost it now, Sue. Sue K says, pronounced Gyra. It's in the northern tablelands of New South Wales, about halfway between Sydney and Brisbane, but inland a bit.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. Yeah, that's neat. I enjoy this stuff. Brandon Kirk.
Very cool.
Thanks for coming, a Heart Dog supporter. So we're talking about getting some attention. That's really what this boils down to. And so often we see have people ask or see in like the comments of our YouTube videos that we publish, try this with a wild and crazy dog. You know, try this leash walking with a dog who's like completely unruly. And we wouldn't. That's not where you start with a dog like that. The first steps are sometimes the worst steps, and you need to fix those. So what you need those first steps to be are great. Maybe that means, do you have a dog? Let me know in the chat. Do you have a dog that as soon as you get the leash and go to the door, they go totally crazy? Or maybe you have this habit of saying walkies or something like that, and the dog goes completely haywire? Well, you're really setting yourself up to struggle with your leash walking if that's the case. And we have some tactics that we can talk about for getting some control. We want to start with focus first. We do this. You've seen us do this in some of our puppy videos.
Yeah.
And let's talk a little bit about like when the puppy's able to go downstairs and things like that. Like, what do we do when we're going to go outside?
Yeah. Sometimes for some puppies, it will actually start when you take them out of their crate as well, because we will attach a leash to our puppy's collar the moment they come out of the crate. So our puppies are never completely off leash when they're learning. So, when they come out of their crate, we will usually, lure them. They don't know how to do anything yet. So we'd lure them into a sitting position using some food, reward them generously for holding that sit, and then practice hooking their leash on, rewarding them again so they learn to sit patiently without nipping and biting at us. And that becomes sort of a daily routine. It happens multiple times a day because you have to take your puppy outside so many times. But the other thing that's really helpful for initiating some, respect with the leash and just good attention is, before you go outside, when you open the door, don't allow your puppy to just barge out the door. But again, being a puppy and I should preface that anything that we say today also will apply to older dogs. So when I say puppy, I'm talking about puppies that are like under 4 months right now. This is when we would start a lot of these trainings. However, there's going to be many of you that are on the call today that's like, my dog's a year old and they don't know this. So you just start right at the basics, the same way that you would with a puppy. So don't get too hung up on the age. But anyway, so when you go outside, open the door, start opening the door first. And again, just encourage your puppy into a sitting position. I wouldn't ask them a million times. I would just say it once. And I would use something to motivate my dog. Treats are a great option. I would lure them into a sitting position and just reward them for a few moments on a loose leash, even paying attention to me, so that the dog's learning when you see a door open, the first instinct is not to run out. It's to sit and pay attention to me. But I'm basically molding and shaping my dog into what I want them to do by not allowing them to rehearse the wrong thing. I get ahead of that and I show them what I would like them to do instead. And it's so helpful when you do this right from the beginning with a really young puppy. Someone said, is my puppy's 10 weeks, is that too soon? No, that's not too soon at all, because we're making it really simple. We're not using any force. We're not manhandling the puppies at all. We're simply using a motivator that they would really like, and we're luring them and showing them what we want them to do. So there's no negative reinforcement at all at this stage. It's all setting them up to be successful.
Okay, I like this. I'm going to answer this. We have a super chat from Rebecca, but Kat says, we have a no-yard puppy, so walks are mandatory for us. We focused on leash skills. Not going for walks is not an option, but we do the inside leash thing and work on distraction training a lot.
Good.
It's great, but you also, walks aren't necessarily mandatory, especially if you're struggling. There's some way better ways to exercise your dog than going for a walk. I'm talking like infinitely better.
Yeah.
Because you can build relationship. Walks
don't really tire dogs out.
No.
I view them as like an easy way to like get their body moving, so it's better for them to go to the bathroom. And it depends on what the walk is. But if you're just going for a leash walk, typically that's not enough to tire a young dog out.
We published a video. Have we published a video? Yeah, we published a video a couple of weeks ago that talks about restraint recalls. Dan, maybe you can drop a link to that. Dan, lots of links. Luton is in the chat tonight, our moderator man. And that would be a great exercise for your puppy. Games like tug. Maybe you can develop a short fetch working on your retrieve. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the kind of relationship building stuff that's you have to be a part of. Like, that's why I love the game of tug. Yeah. Like, I love that sort of play. Playtime, settle, and sit. I mean, it's not super energetic, not about all about energy, but great leadership
hallway
building.
Hallway recalls.
Like, all of this stuff, because it's so focused on you that it's hard to for your dog to get distracted, because it's all about you. And it's a great way to build relationship and leadership. And then once you've gotten in some of those reps, gotten in some of that exercise, then you start seeing success. You can start doing shorter walks. Yeah. You can start doing successful walks, and you don't feel like you're struggling. And now, that's not to say that you're never going to walk your dog. You've got to get to that point eventually. But I want you to focus on really intentional exercises first that focus on you. It can make a huge difference. This is the thing that I learned as a student going to McCann Dogs. Made a huge difference.
Absolutely.
I want to go really quickly over that opening of, what that might look like. If you have an energetic, wild, bouncy dog, we have a few more, several things that we want to talk about tonight that'll be in your walks, things to think about while you're walking. I see a couple great questions out here.
We're talking about before the walk, right?
Yeah, this is before the walk. So this is your dog ready? We just mentioned that. I want you to think about, is your dog ready? We're going
to
take a look at
how instructor Carol works with us. Does your dog just want to explode out that door? Because going outside is fun. So if I open that door, you can see she's ready to blast. Fran's pretty excited to go out, and that's pretty common. Does your dog just want to explode out that door? Because going outside is fun. So if I open that door, you can see she's ready to blast. So I'm going to hold that leash so that she can't actually get out until she looks at me. And why do I care about that? She is so focused on the outside. Nothing else exists about getting through that door. If I just hold her here, it's like a magic force field. At some point, she's going to...
Now, does your dog do this? I mean, Carol has been talking to the camera, and this is one of the hard parts we have about creating instructional videos for you and managing a dog is that, the dog's like, okay, what on earth is going on? I'm ready to go outside. Does your dog line up at the door like this? Like, I can't wait to get outside, because it's really calm.
Out there, and then she's going to go, what the heck? And she's going to look at me. And when she looks at me, I'm going to immediately say, okay. So it's doing a couple of things. One, in order for her to look at me, she needs to control herself, which means she's not as wild. And two, she's learning there's some rules to going through that door. Are you ready, girly? What's out in the big...
Now, if Carol were dead set on going for a walk, like maybe this is you at home and you're thinking like, boy, I got to walk the dog. It's after dinner, or boy, I need to walk my dog for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. Then what would happen next is you'd likely say like, oh, geez, didn't work that time. Yeah. And then you'd go for your walk.
That's right.
It's really important that teaching your dog to walk on a loose leash, which is what Carol's doing right now, and taking your dog for a walk are separate things. This is why we focus on steps like this. Super accessible, easy for you to do, but also intentional. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to commit some time to it.
Requires patience.
Also, gentle
soothing until she decides. Good girl. All right, good girl. So last time I said okay, and she got.
Yeah, now Carol goes through it a couple of times. I don't know that we need to watch each event or each time she does it, but I think that I think that is a good example of what we're talking about. You know, we want, this is the focus that we want. If you have a dog who's just completely bananas on walks and is giving you no attention, then you need to start here. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can't go for a walk the first few days. You need to work on maybe sit in control at your side. Mm-hmm. And that's as far as you get, because you're going to introduce some of the other exercises to you know, get some of that energy out.
I think that's why it's so important that you understand, like, if you look at that, if you do that five or six times, the dog's not really going to get very physically tired. They'll get mentally tired for sure, because there's a lot of thinking involved, but they won't get very physically tired. So during the process of training your dog to walk on a loose leash and to walk with you, it is important that you, again, are finding other ways to exercise your dog so they are getting that outlet. I know we have a puppy that's approaching a year old now, which is absolutely mind-boggling to me. But I didn't take him on very many walks for the first couple of months that we had him, because he was still learning to walk. But we really focused on teaching him how to play fetch. We did a lot of restraint recalls where Ken would hold him and I would dangle a tug toy out in front, and I would call him and he would race after me to get the tug toy. So he was getting that running, that sprinting, that playing out all towards us, so that he was tired. And then I might let him have a little snooze, and then I might get him out and work on some of these exercises like you just saw Carol do with Freya, so that he was getting to use his mind, but also he was still getting the exercises that he required as a young dog. But he wasn't rehearsing poor walking skills because he was just in the process of learning. So it's a hard thing, but it makes such a difference in the long run.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so we've talked about the R. Is your dog ready? And we've given you a couple of
R
strategies. R, that's a pirate. Everybody thinks that's a pirate's favorite letter, but you know what it actually is?
I know the answer to this.
The C.
Right.
Is your dog ready? So the next is the E. When we talk about our Reds steps, is the E. And I've seen a couple of questions come up about equipment. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca Greenspan and also Allie Campbell mentioned that she's a dog walker and sitter. But Rebecca Greenspan dropped a $10 super chat asking a question about an 8-month-old Cavi. So equipment should be one of the first things that you think about when you're walking your dog. You start on a flat buckle collar, just a normal flat buckle collar, super simple. We always choose ones with like the metal buckle so that it doesn't slip. And we live in Canada and it's freezing cold now. So we've seen the plastic buckles break, although they're convenient. The metal buckles are more reliable and less
safer.
Likely. Yeah, they're safer.
Mm-hmm.
But you start with a flat buckle collar. But if your walking training isn't going well, then it might be time for a change of equipment.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about going out and buying a fancy harness with 17 different pull mechanisms on it, because having control of your dog's head is really important, whether it's the neck with that flat buckle collar or something that we love and we actually get specially made for us, a special version, is something called a gentle leader. And it does a great job of, like, it controls the dog's nose, so if they start to pull, they can't. You know, they sort of get turned so that they can't really lean in.
And the other thing that's so helpful about it, we noticed this when we were away walking our dogs, our one dog wears a gentle leader, and what's nice is you can turn their head away from the distractions. When the leash is attached to the back with a harness, the dogs can still pick things up with their mouth.
Yeah.
They can still get into other dogs' faces and stuff because they can just sort of wiggle around everywhere. So when your dog's in training, you do want to have your leash attached to their neck in some sort, whether it's through a collar or, as Ken's suggesting, a gentle leader. Gentle leaders are so great for dogs that pull a lot or sniff a lot or disengage a lot, because it just gives you that much more control. And the name is perfect because it's gentle. It's passive on the dog. It's powerful, but it doesn't hurt the dog. So that's what we really like about it. It really affects a lot of change without having to be very negative. It's also really great for all sizes of dogs as well, which we really like.
So Rebecca's super chat. I have an 8-month-old Cavi. I've been using a gentle leader, but her sitter won't use it. Her sitter is a sweet, gentle senior. Gentle senior not using the gentle leader. So what can I do? Mm. Now, Rebecca, this is going to come down to communication. You know, you're going to have to explain how important it is, especially if your dog is wild and crazy. It's amazing the transformation that the dog gets when you have control of their nose. The dogs that fuss the most are the ones that need it the most.
Yeah.
How often do we see that? But communication with the your dog sitter is going to be really important. Here's all the reasons why it's a good idea, and then maybe help show her.
Yeah.
Show her how
to
use
it. I think it's important. You know, it would be interesting to know why she doesn't want to use it. The fact that you say the sweet, gentle senior maybe thinks that she thinks it's mean or something like that. But, you know, it's important that you explain that consistency is really important. Yeah. And what we're doing is trying to create a lot of consistency and clarity for our dog, because at the end of the day, they're who's most important in this situation. We want to make sure the dog's getting consistent information so that they can learn and they can grow. And the thing with the gentle leader is the more that they wear it and the more fun stuff that they do with it on, yep, they, you know, faster they become accustomed to it. So I think it's just going to need to be a bit more of a conversation. Unfortunately, it would be great if we could say, oh, we'll just do this instead. But our recommendation is for you to use the gentle leader in all situations and just see if you can have a good conversation with your sitter and try and get her on board, because it is the best thing. Consistency is the best thing for your puppy.
For sure. And this sort of leads us into this next question. Mary H.
Hi,
turning,
Mary.
Turning the lights blue. The $4 super sticker. Thank you, Mary. I do love that that adorable super sticker. Just Ali Campbell had mentioned, I'm a dog walker. What's your advice for training a dog? I see intermittently. The puppy's about 5 months old and very strong. She pulled me to the ground the other day. And this is a perfect situation for something like a gentle leader. Mm. If, you know, it's the right piece of equipment that gives you, it's like power steering. It really is.
Yeah.
The great part about the gentle leader is that you can train off of it. The whole goal of the gentle leader is that you don't need it anymore. So that you can slip the nose loop off and it just becomes a flat buckle collar. But something for you, Ellie, that might be simple is just an equipment change. As, you know, maybe that's part of the tools that you have for your dog walking is, you know, some dogs that love to pull, putting on a gentle leader might be a great option for you.
Yeah. And maybe ask them about how the dog walks for them. You know, if the dog's doing a lot of pulling, maybe the gentle leader would be a great way for them to enjoy their walks a little bit more as well. So
yeah,
it's all about communication.
Maro says, as a gentle leader, you'd recommend that over the Halti brand? Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Because the reason the gentle leader is so great is that, number one, it doesn't slide up and down the dog's snout if it's fit correctly. But also, it's built so that you can wean off of it, so that you can, when the dog's being successful in some skills or part of the walk or whatever is appropriate, you can slip the nose loop off and right away it becomes a flat buckle collar. Yeah. You can continue your training. Things start to
the
go poorly.
The dogs also can't back out of it. Halties can get out. We're not sponsored by Jeff here, just so you know. We're literally telling you this because we truly believe in the product and use it ourselves.
And it changed my walks with my dog. It just made a huge difference. So we talked about E, and the first thing we talked about was the equipment. Next one's exercise. And I know someone mentioned this earlier, you know, is the walk the only exercise your dog is getting during the day? Well, it's no wonder that they're full of beans and wanting to pull you down the street.
Yeah. Well, I said this to you in the car, I think we were driving home from Florida a few days ago.
Yeah.
And remember I said to you that people just generally don't exercise their dogs enough and they wonder why. And the reason why it had come up is our dogs had just spent 2 days basically in the car because we were traveling and they didn't get their normal exercise. And both of them, when we got home, especially our puppy, they were bananas. Like they were just wild.
Yep.
Not bad, but just like
full of energy.
Way more energetic than they normally are. And I had said to Ken, like, I can't believe the difference in their behavior with just 2 days of not their regular exercise. And it just made me think about all of the dogs out there that are driving families crazy, and this is the dog that they get all of the time because the dogs just are not getting enough exercise. So exercise is really important, and it is really also important as dog trainers to tell you that we're not recommending that exercise means you take them to an off-leash park and sit there on your phone while your dog tires themselves out.
No, that's the last thing we want you to do, because the amount of dogs that come into us who are like, oh boy, something happened at the park.
Yeah, or they just forget that you exist because they learn that having fun elsewhere is better.
Totally.
So, you know, the type of exercise that we would recommend that you do are things, it does take more time for sure, but things that you would be doing with your dog together. And we've mentioned some of that before with retrieving and things like that. Hiking with your dog, you know, things like that are going to get your dog active and out together. But it makes a massive difference in your dog's overall behavior.
For sure.
So
we've talked about equipment. We've talked about exercise. I mean, I don't want to belabor that, exercise is really important. Next, we need to talk about environment.
Yeah.
Is this the right place to be doing your walking training?
This is a really important one.
I work as a firefighter. I have for over 20 years. And I remember going, it was like, it was either the wee hours of the night or the wee hours of the morning. It was really late. And we went to an alarm bells call at a high rise. And we were in the, I was in the parking garage. And someone was doing walking training with their dog.
Really?
Oh, it's great. And, yeah. And
were they a student?
No.
Really?
Yeah. They were doing walking training. And I remember thinking, like, I walked out and I was looking for the alarm, the whatever. I was looking for the sprinkler stuff. And they were out there and they were doing training, rewarding their dog. It was kind of dark. I just remember, that's what I really remember about it. It was kind of cold. But they had chosen an environment with no other people around. Yeah. It was quiet. It was, you know, there are some distractions, but they were being super successful because they intentionally found a spot that isn't busy.
Yeah.
And they were able to see some success. So you need to consider, what's a great spot I can do my leash walking training? I'll tell you, and we've seen in lots of our videos, maybe that's the living room. Maybe it's your hallway. Maybe it's...
Love a good hallway training
Maybe
session.
It's the hallway leading to your apartment. Maybe it's a basement wall that's kind of long. Maybe it's the side of your house. It doesn't matter what it is. But you need to figure out a location that you can be successful with your dog. Mm-hmm. And they're not just thinking, go to the park, or, oh, dog, mm-hmm. there's a cat, there's a truck, or whatever. You know, find an environment where you can be successful and it will change your leash walking
training. Yeah, I was actually just thinking as you're saying, I think we should probably embellish as to why we would choose something like the hallway or something long and skinny because it's very natural to us. So one of the reasons why we like to start off in a place that's sort of longer and, you know, skinnier area is because it diminishes the amount of things that your dog can get distracted by.
Yeah.
So when we're first starting our puppy training, we have a hallway in our home. We shut all the doors to the hallway. We put all the other older dogs away, put them behind the baby gate so that just the puppy is just one-on-one with us and there's very little distractions. And that way the puppy is rehearsing, going up and down, following the food at our left-hand side. They really don't know what they're doing at that stage. They just sort of think, whoa, look at me. I'm following the food. I'm beside you. My leash is loose. And they start to learn to kind of think, wow, this thing that we're doing together is kind of fun. But the hallway is a really great option. So I wouldn't start my walking training like outside in the middle of the backyard when like a squirrel or a bird or all these things could just pop in to my training session. I'm going to find a spot or a location where I can control the environment so that I only have to focus on the puppy and the dog and the attention that I'm getting.
So this is really important, and we get a lot of people who think like, well, I don't want to walk with food forever and I don't have to have treats in my hand the whole time. Neither do we. This is really important. And what do you think your dog is thinking about when you choose these quiet locations where they can't be struggling and you're giving them food? They're thinking about the food, but what are you really trying to do? You're trying to teach them that it's valuable to be in this position at my side. It doesn't matter if they're walking yet or not. They're donkey and carrot.
Yeah.
That's the point, is that we want to teach them that it's really worth it to remain right here. Also teach them that when they end up there, they're going to get something great. Dogs aren't naturally, there's no desire to walk at our side.
No.
You know, there's no reason they should be there. We've sort of introduced them into this human world. And
they want to walk out ahead and investigate.
Right, and explore and just do their own thing. Go and visit people and other dogs and things. But we need to teach them that this is more valuable. You're sure to get something good if you're right here.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to start.
Yeah, and I think food is very much like, in walking training anyways, it's very much like, you know, training wheels on a bike. You know, you have it on there and the wheel so they're making sure that you can actually go through the motions of riding the bike, but you're not actually doing it by yourself. Same thing with the food. The food's there to help the dog go through the motions and to rehearse doing it correct, but sooner or later, you got to take the training wheels off and then see how it goes until you're able to do it without the aid of the food there. So it's exactly the same process, but unfortunately, some people skip to riding the bike without the training wheels a little bit too soon, and then it doesn't go well.
Absolutely.
And then you crash.
That's right. Yeah, you don't want that. Make sure you're wearing your helmet. Rachel Hanley asked a question about how long does her dog rubs at the gentle leader, the nose loop. How long does that last? We actually have a video that talks about this.
As long as you let it.
Yeah.
That's sometimes something that dogs will do if they sort of think like, oh, this is a funny thing on my face. But you have to interrupt them when they do that by just taking a hold of the leash and lifting up on the gentle leader and just telling them to settle or saying leave it until the dog settles, and then you're going to give slack to the leash so that the gentle leader relaxes on their head once again. And then you got to get them busy, got to get them working, got to get them thinking about something else. Try not just to let them do nothing with the gentle leader on. Keep them busy. That's really helpful.
We have a video.
Not thinking about it.
Totally. We have a video on this topic, and it's something like I tried using a gentle leader or something like that. It was with.
My dog hates a gentle leader.
With Final, something like that. Yeah. Anyway, it's on the channel somewhere. I hope you can find it. Maybe Dan can find it. Great point from Sue Kay. We're in week 6 of the Life Skills Program. It's been wonderful in progressing from early training, luring, to more difficult walking, adding distractions. And that's absolutely the case, Sue. When you start with success, it's so much easier than putting your dog in a situation where you're likely to struggle because you can't reinforce them. Some dogs are just rewarded by seeing stuff, by being out in front and like being around motion. And it's just very rewarding for them. So you can break it down into smaller parts, you're more likely to be successful. We talk a lot about leash walking in our life skills program.
Aaron just shared it. My dog hated the gentle leader.
Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron.
And how you can, step by step, with help of an instructor in our life skills program for dogs over 5 months, you can learn leash walking with the help of a McCann Dogs instructor. Mm-hmm. So we drop a link in the chat somewhere. You can join us. Weekly calls, probably a call on Monday, this upcoming Monday.
Every call every single Monday. We do a live Zoom call with the instructors, and we talk about all kinds of topics. Yep. Sometimes we talk about walking on leash, actually, just kind of like this, but a little bit more detailed.
And you get daily all kinds feedback of other things from like a McCann Dogs instructor.
Yeah, we'll watch you walk your dog, and we'll be able to tell you exactly how you should hold the leash differently, about your timing, about your body language, about where you're practicing, about all of that stuff. Make sure that you're doing things the way that that you should, and to allow you to get success.
So we've talked about, is your dog ready? We've talked about exercise, environment, and equipment in the E's. Now it's time for the D: distance, duration, and dinner time.
Dun, dun, dun. You switched up the D's.
That's right. The distance you're taking your dog for a walk, something that people will often do is say, okay, we're going to go leash walking training. I'm going to go around the block twice. And the whole time I'm going to try to maintain some blah, blah, blah. And then it completely crashes and burns. Mm-hmm. Think about the distance that you can be successful. Maybe it begins with up and down your sidewalk. Maybe you do 3 lamp posts down and then you turn around. What we don't want you doing is going out and practicing. This happens so often. You don't want to go out and have your dog do brilliantly halfway on the walk. And then halfway home, you've run out of treats. You've sort of gotten tired and distracted and you're hungry and, it's just too much. So you need to be consistent with your training. So plan shorter distances. Keep those training sessions short, concise, sweet, and make sure that you're successful, because you're going to soon encounter times when you do need to be able to think on your feet. You do need to be able to redirect your dog, or like you're going to come into tougher challenges. But don't set that up at the beginning. Don't put your dog in those situations if your dog is learning. This is stuff that's a little bit more advanced. Mm-hmm. But if you're struggling with leash walking, if you need to fix your leash walking, make sure you're planning an appropriate distance.
Norma, just said at my funeral, check my pockets. I'll probably have a poop bag and a pocket full of treats.
This is so true. You know what? This is a good point. I love it, Norma. Let's and thank you for the super chat. I haven't so tooted funny. Tonight, so let's talk about the fact that even though we have several trained dogs at home and a puppy in training, that we'll often go out for a walk, or when we go walking training, we'll still take treats so that we can randomly reward them for that.
Yeah, yep. We just do it very randomly because dogs aren't robots. Dogs are animals, and they need reinforcement for things. And you can reinforce things a lot, and then you can ride the wave for weeks, months, for a while, where the dog's just super sharp at listening. And then sometimes you see them get a little bit sloppy or a little bit slow, and you just have to go back and reward a little bit more, or get after them for being a little bit slow, and spruce up your training a little bit, and then you ride for another few more months. That's how it works. Because with our training anyways, we have really high expectations for our dogs. I don't want to have to ask them to do things a million times before they respond. I'm looking for a really reliable and fast reaction. And so that requires upkeep on my part, on my training.
Yeah, these are perishable skills.
Yeah, to make sure that I'm reinforcing often enough that I'm still getting the type of product or the type of behavior that I'm looking for. But you don't have to do it all of the time, especially once they get a little bit more further into their training.
We dive deep into another skill we call leash respect. And the reality is, it's not something that we'll talk about tonight. This is something we focus heavily on in our in-class and online training. Like, we think this skill is really important for
valuable.
You to have. And when we were in Florida, I remember, actually, I might have mentioned it to you, saying the amount of time that the dogs were practicing leash respect versus let's go walking or heel walking, it's substantially more.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want the dog to pull on leash, but we don't need them in that tight walk at our side.
Mm-hmm.
But when we do need it, there were times when we'd go into the Coliseum or arena, and we'd need the dog tight in at our side.
There's tons of people
busy.
Around.
Other dogs. There's dog toys, like racks of dog toys.
Yes.
And we need them to be right in at our side. But most of the time, we're teaching a leash respect. So,
That's
something else. If you end up training with us online or in class, that's something we talk about. We have a video. Yeah. We have a couple of videos that approach the subject. Actually, maybe Dan could drop this link. I think we touched on it in change your leash walking or something like that. There are three kinds of leash walking, something to that effect. Anyway, really valuable skill. And honestly, the let's go or heel walking is super valuable, but that's not the only way you can walk your dog.
I had another comment to say about the distance.
Yeah.
So we talked about the distance and not going for, you know, long walks until you're ready to do that. Something that I ended up doing with our puppy is, you know, he got to the point pretty quickly, actually, where he was walking very well in the house, you know, around the dining room table, up and down the hallway with the treats and the leash. You know, he was a little rock star very quickly. And I think you'll find when you do it with your puppy, you're going to think, wow, they're so good at this. But you can't necessarily go from that to going for the long walk. So what I started to do was, rather than actually go out on my street for a walk, I would actually walk him just in my driveway. Now, our driveway is actually not very long at all. And so we would just walk back and forth and around in different patterns. And we, you know, initially when I did that, when he was young, he was very distractible. He's a puppy. And so I worked until that was a little bit more reliable by rewarding him. And then I started to integrate more distractions just in my driveway. So I'm starting to make progressions without going on this huge long distance walk. And I'm challenging him in a way that he's learning how to be a good listener, but it's still controlled so that I'm not out, you know, 20 minutes from the house and, you know, some disastrous thing happens. I'm really controlling it. So it's not really about the distance or the duration. It's about working towards those things very gradually when your dog's showing you that they're ready to be pushed in that way.
Yeah.
And you'll know by your dog's behavior. It's either going to be great or it's not. And if it's not, you need to make changes to find yourself a progression or a level once again where your dog's having success, and then you'll push forward from there.
This is so...
Too many people
is,
let their dogs be wrong for too long.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
And this is such a huge part of what we do and what we believe in and what we try to help you with on the channel is it's about, you know, doing your best to help the dog out to be successful, but then, you know, building that motivation and that drive, like, so the dog's excited to train.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they're not interested, invested in the training, then, you know, I published a video a long time ago that talked about magnets, and it was a little bit complex of an idea. I thought it might make it unique, interesting. I thought it'd be helpful for you, but it didn't quite land. So when you go for walks, I want you to think about the fact that everything around you is a magnet, and your dog is magnetic, and all of these things around you, your dog walks by and they're starting to get attracted towards. It's not that they're leaving you, it's that they're attracted to these other magnets. So what are you going to do to be the strongest magnet in the room? What's that thing that's going to make you completely magnetic and your dog going to want to just be at your side and paying attention to you, even with all of these other magnets out in the world? That's when we talk about things like keeping the distance short, keeping the duration short, so that we end with a motivated dog, so that they're excited about training. It's also why we talk a little bit about dinner time. When we have a hungry dog who's you're using their meal for training, they're much more likely to pay attention to you. And we'll often do our walking training. There's probably a million video clips across Instagram and YouTube and on our channel and like everywhere about it. That's like sunset. And we're out there doing walking training. And that's why you need to be the strongest magnet. Let's talk a little bit about why we train at dinner time.
Yeah, because you have a puppy that is starting to anticipate, eating at that time. So they're hungry, they're ready for food, they're a little bit more willing to work for whatever you have. You don't want to be training your dog where you're wanting a lot of motivation and drive. You don't want to be training your dog with food after they've had a full meal, because they're going to be full. They're not going to be into it anymore. One of the tactics that we love to do for all kinds of our training, not even just specific to walking, is to take half of their breakfast or their dinner and do some training with their actual meal, especially if you're not in a very distracting environment. Like if you're just at home when there's not much going on, using their meal is a great way to get them working for their food, yeah. Building a lot of attention, and you're banking on a time where the dog's already invested in food because they're hungry to begin with. We even suggest sometimes when people come to our classes, like, don't feed them before you come. Don't give them dinner at 6 and then come to a class at 6:30, because the dogs just, they don't want food anymore, and it's really challenging to get them to work. So you want to get them hungry and excited to work for the treats and the food.
The chat's zipping down, but someone had asked, and I apologize, whoever asked the question said, healing leash walking different than less formal let's go walking? And yes, it mm-hmm. is. In fact, we teach more tight formal heel and things like our rally obedience and in our obedience classes, but that it's similar. Well, you know, you don't have that same precision when you're doing the formal leash walking, but you're setting the dog up for a similar effect or impact. It's just not as precise. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. The other question from Sue Kay. And I like this question, is, do you teach with me heel and leash respect, which is less formal, at the same time, or do you teach heel first and leash respect second?
We usually start with teaching heel first, and then we branch into leash respect after that. And the reason why we do it that way, it sort of seems a bit odd that we do it that direction, since, you know, you will be using leash respect more of the time, is if you start off by building a lot of value for your dog being very close to you, that actually really helps leash respect quite a bit. So we usually start with heel first and then leash respect second. However, you're not going to like train heel to completion before you right. start leash respect. We just start it for a little bit just to build a little bit of value, and then you can start to integrate your leash respect stuff in there as well.
Yeah. Really important. I'm just waiting for our thing to update here because I want to talk about this. So many shades of daring. I totally made a lot of mistakes. I leave my dog's food out to let her eat on her own. Now, we talk about dinner time and how valuable it can be mm-hmm. as a training resource. We also talk about, Kale talked about portioning some of that food out so that you don't always have to train it yeah. whenever your dinner time is, so that dog's not getting tons of food. But free feeding is a bad idea for a lot of reasons. Yeah. And from the training perspective, it certainly devalues the food.
Yeah.
So it
And which then devalues you.
Right. Remember, yeah. you need to be the strongest magnet in the room. If you have the best thing going, if you have that one, maybe it's a toy even. I mean, we don't talk a lot about that, but mm-hmm. It could be a toy for some dogs. If you have that super valuable kibble that they get when they're meal fed, you know, twice a day, three times a day, whatever your schedule is, then that food's going to be way more valuable.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be way more valuable.
Yeah. There's also a lot of health benefits as well to... Yeah. To meal feeding your dog versus totally. Free feeding your dog.
Yeah.
That's not something that we recommend.
You want to be able to monitor, and our vet always says your dog's ins and outs. You know, yep. how much is going in, how much is coming out, because that can be an early indication that something's wrong.
Yep.
Or something has changed.
Yeah.
So we've talked about ready. Is your dog ready? We've talked about environment, exercise, and equipment. We've talked about distance, duration, and dinner time. Training when your dog's hungry or mm-hmm. using food as a motivator. And we need to talk about the speed that you're walking at. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, and you might be doing this, I want you to be really self-aware the next time you go for a walk. How fast are you walking? Because a lot of people, when they're like, okay, got my leash gathered up, I've got my stick of juicy fruit, the taste is gonna move you. There's the cadence of that. You got your leash all gathered up, you got your treats on your side, you're ready to start your walks, and then you...
The taste is gonna move
you.
And I was like, what's the second part of that
yeah,
thing that's so catchy?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think we nailed it. And then you start to slow down because you're thinking about all of these other things. You're thinking, is my leash loose? Is my dog in the right position?
When you pop it in your mouth or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Juicy fruit. It's gonna move ya.
Yeah. Juicy stuff. Gets right through ya.
Juicy fruit. Okay, we got it.
The speed that you're walking at is important. Don't slow down. don't go too fast. You need to find a speed where it seems purposeful. And what is the value of walking at an appropriate speed with a dog?
Yeah, it gives them less time to think about other things, really. You know, sometimes when we're thinking about a bunch of things, humans, you know, tend to walk slowly because they're like trying to coordinate eight things at the same time. And then they, you know, have to move slowly when that happens. But that just gives your dog so much time to look around and to think about other things. Dogs are really attracted to motion as well. They have that innate chase drive within them. So if you stride out like you're, you know, late for something or you're ready to go, and the dogs sometimes have to go, oh my goodness, I'm coming with you. Where are you going to? I've actually used my pace when I've run out of treats momentarily. I'll just sort of keep moving along and walking quickly and talking to them and helping them and engaging with them as I get a little bit more food ready. And sometimes, sometimes the dogs don't even realize. So walking fast really does help the dogs to stay engaged. And again, but that can be hard to do.
Did you mention not too fast? We have a video.
No, I didn't say not too fast.
Five ways to get more attention on your walks.
Yes.
And we show a demonstration of maybe Euchre walking too slow, walking too fast, because sometimes that's overwhelming for the dogs. Maybe you've got a little dog short legs. It's so exciting.
Biting at the leash.
Totally. Yeah. So you want to be careful. You need to find that the right speed for your dog, and then you can you'll recognize it. The other thing is, if you're going too slow, they're just sniffing the ground.
Yeah.
You know, they have an opportunity to pick up that pine cone or pick up that whatever that you're passing by. But if you're walking with that purposeful pace, they don't have as many opportunities to leave you.
Was Juicy Fruit only in Canada?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Is it a Canadian thing?
I don't know. Sue said that she doesn't remember that in Canada.
Oh.
Well, I did find out. We were obviously in the States, in Florida, and we have
Juicy Fruit?
A puppy named Five Alive, which is a, like, very loved Canadian.
Oh, yeah. That's a Canadian drink,
Canadian drink. And when people were asking me what our puppy's name was, I was like, Five Alive. And they were like, oh.
And then I'd say, oh, it's a Canadian fruit beverage.
Yeah, we'd have to explain ourselves because they thought that was just the weirdest name ever.
Yeah.
It's funny.
So talking about the speed in our Reds, what's the word I'm looking for? It'll come to me.
Acronym.
In our Reds acronym. Kale mentioned it as well. She uses her voice. What are you saying? Focused on your speed, what are you saying that's going to maintain your dog's attention? And this can be really helpful, especially as you start to wean off the food.
Mm-hmm.
I recognize this, actually, I didn't mention this earlier, but if in the chat, if their name's in blue, they're part of the McCann Dogs crew. And Instructor Robbie is one of our trainers that's in the chat tonight. And Instructor Robbie was my first grade one life skills head instructor. And I remember at some point, I had to change sides of the room with Deegan. And I started, they're big, you know, training halls. And I started over here and I stood up and, you know, it was early on. And I was, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing. But I stood up and I made some like silly crack and I did a funny voice as I walked across the room. And Robbie said, Ken, did you see that? Did you see the impact that your voice had? And Deegan was in at my side. I was more interesting.
No, what are you talking about, Dad?
That's right. Exactly. I was more interesting. So, you know, on top of what your speed is, what you're saying can make a difference. Now, this doesn't mean that you're wandering along, just yammering the entire time, but you're being engaging with your dog. You know, you're using your voice to, like, keep them motivated. When they're making great choices, maybe you walk by the fire hydrant. Maybe you walk by, there's a dog on the other side, and they look over and they check in with you. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You acknowledge that. It's like, good boy, way to go, buddy, or whatever. Or you could get really bubbly and high-pitched like Kale.
I love getting high-pitched and bubbly.
So using your voice can make a massive difference. And guys, especially, any guys watching the live stream tonight, and I remember...
Let your hair down.
That's right, yeah. It's
don't
the
be afraid to be silly.
The students who would come in class and they wouldn't want to say anything. They didn't want... I don't know whether it was embarrassing for them or they just weren't, I don't know, just weren't comfortable. But then you get in a room of dog trainers, even if it's a bunch of male dog trainers.
You have to compete to be the loudest.
That's right. It's deafening. But they know that's what's going to... To build, it's not forever either. That's what's going to build that initial desire, drive, a history of reward for your dog, because then they're in position. You can, you know, give them the treats, whatever. That's what's going to build that foundation for you. so that over time you can go on quieter walks. You can go on walks with less treats. You can go on walks that aren't that hurried pace. It's the beginning. This is where you start.
Yeah, totally. Spin.
Yeah. Talking about
it's not the spin that you're probably thinking about.
Yeah, I'm not talking about spinning in a circle. I'm not talking about spinning like a top. I'm talking about changing directions.
Yeah.
A great way to work
on an about turn, if you will.
Yeah. Or maybe, you know, maybe you go out to, I was thinking about this the other day. I did this with Deegan and I don't know why it crossed my mind. But I remember being in a soccer field very near where we live and just doing 90 degree turns with her. You know, just walking because it's
the
less predictable.
Box square routine.
Right, exactly.
Yep. Works very well.
I practice my right turns, then I practice some left turns, and then I change it up just to keep it interesting.
Yeah.
But the value of a turn is twofold. Number one, it almost requires your dog to be in position, especially if you're turning left.
Yeah.
It requires your dog to be in position. Or if you're doing a 180 degree about turn and you go the other way, your dog has to work pretty hard to maintain that position.
Yeah.
And then you're going the other direction. But consider this. When you go on your leash walks right now, do you go the same direction? Does your dog know where you're going?
Pattern.
Are they anticipating where you're going next? And they know that, well, you know what? It doesn't really matter how we walk because we're getting there. And I can't wait to get there. This is too much fun. I'll drag you there because I want to get there faster. So using turning while you're walking your dog can be really advantageous.
Yeah. For sure.
Daniel Emero, will getting neutered change the way your dog walks?
No, probably not.
No, it's unlikely.
Nope. I think that people really like to think that if they get their dog spayed or neutered, that like behaviors will just naturally correct themselves.
You know why? Because it's easy.
Yeah.
Just take the dog to the vet, they come back.
Get them a surgery. You're good to go.
Yeah.
What I will say, though, is that, you know, if you have a male dog and you do get them neutered, it can change things like how interested they are in sniffing, like, female dog scents. You know, it sometimes can change their energy and what they're interested in and things like that, but it doesn't change whether they understand to walk with a loose leash
totally,
or not.
Totally.
So although it can help with some things, and just to preface, some dogs that get neutered or spayed, there is zero change in them whatsoever. So this is just a thing. We're not advocating that you go out and get your dog spayed or neutered to help with your leash or walking. You should get your dog spayed or neutered. That's a healthy thing to do, but not in relation to dogs walking.
Totally.
Yeah.
Remember, you know, we get 600 dogs a week come through the training facility, and we see lots of dogs before and after, just because of the way the timing falls. And you know, it's everyone seems to be like, especially for marking is the other one in the house.
Yeah.
Like, well, I guess I should get him neutered because he's marking in the house.
Yeah, well, sometimes it will become a habit and it's just not, it's really about the behavior and not about what's happening inside.
Yeah, it's a supervision problem.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so not an uncommon question, Daniel, but definitely, I think he'll filled in that in pretty well.
The blanks.
Now, the Reds strategy. Is your dog ready? Before you go for a walk, are you getting some attention or are they going completely crazy? We talked a little bit about some things that you can do to build some value for you. You need to be the strongest magnet in the room. Mm-hmm. You have to remember that this environment is really rewarding and excuse me, very interesting for your young
and
dog.
And don't forget the value starting with a win, even just starting with the dog sitting on a loose leash in your doorway.
That's right.
You know, that's more important than, you know, having them drag you on the walk. It starts there.
You know why? Because we're going for wins. We're not going for walks. And I love saying that
there
because it's so
now
true.
Now you have a YouTube title name.
That's right. I don't know
we're
what
going
that.
Going for wins,
that's
not
right.
Walks.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. You are going for wins. Taking your dog for a walk and training your dog to walk on leash, two different things. So you're going out there to get wins at every step along the way because we're focused on knowing if your dog's ready.
Get that W.
Environment, exercise, equipment. Think about those three things. Mm-hmm. Is your dog ready for that? The distance, duration. And is it dinner time? Does your dog desire food? Because that can be really helpful while you're walking. What are you saying? What's your speed? Are you turning? Those things can make a big difference when it comes to teaching your dog to walk on a loose leash. Now, I'm going to pass you guys along to the new McCann Dogs music channel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you leave the house for the day, put on some relaxing music for your dog. We do it. It's a great idea. A lot of dogs find it super what's the word? It's sort
soothing.
Of like, it's soothing. It is soothing. Yeah, because it sort of fills the space with
I think it also, music. For our one dog, she's a little bit sound sensitive, so it drowns out like the noise of loud trucks in the background, or, you know, if they're chewing on a, you know, bone, or if they have a peanut butter Kong or something and you have the music on, then, you know, you can kind of slip out the door and they can't really 100%. Hear as much. Like, it's just, it's a really great thing to use. It's super great when you're traveling, that type of stuff.
Totally.
I did want to say really quickly, for those people who may be interested in seeing like our agility side of things, that's where Ken and I were in Florida last week competing. I was there competing in an agility competition, a pretty big one, but I documented the experience and posted all the information about what that was. So if you're interested in that, you can check out the McCann Dogs Agility Facebook or Instagram.
And there's actually channel. A McCann Dogs Agility YouTube channel, which is probably better for
there
you.
Is, but I didn't post it on there. So
now that you're ready to fix your leash walking training with all of the teaching, all of the training, all of the things we've talked about tonight, the rest, my friends, well, that is up to you. Happy training.
We do these live streams to educate you, but more importantly, to motivate you. You can have the dog that you've always wanted, but it's just going to take you a little bit of work.
I would know, because I was just like you. Long before I became a dog trainer, I was a frustrated dog owner, but the skills that I learned at McCann's changed my life. Now, we have hundreds of videos here on our YouTube channel to help you to have a well-behaved four-legged family member.
But if you want someone to guide you through the dog training process, then you should check out our Puppy Essentials program for puppies under 6 months. If your dog is over 6 months, then you could join our Life Skills program, and our instructors are going to help to make sure that everything goes as smoothly as possible in a really supportive environment.
Now, all of the knowledge about dog training in the world won't help you to be successful unless you get up and you start training. The real question is, what are you going to train next?
Happy training.